Welcome to the Savvy Shrink Podcast, brought to you by MHNRnetwork.com. I'm your host, Andrea Schneider. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, therapist, and life coach. I will be sharing helpful information for individuals dealing with varying mental health challenges, ranging from trauma and loss to recovering from toxic relationships in love, work, and family, specifically as relates to narcissistic abuse recovery. Other poignant topics will include maternal mental health and special needs parenting, among others. The podcast welcomes guests who share their expertise in trauma-informed and evidence-based interventions, including the latest in neuropsychology. My ebook, Soul Vampires: Reclaiming Your Lifeblood After Narcissistic Abuse, is available at BookBaby and other digital online booksellers. I'm a believer in a strengths-focused perspective for my clients, which harnesses the power of internal wisdom and crafting the inner alchemy of healing. Please grab a cup of coffee or tea, and welcome to the Savvy Shrink. Welcome to the Savvy Shrink Podcast, hosted by MHNR Network. This is Andrea Schneider, and I'm happy to be back to my podcast after taking some time off this summer. I hope this finds my listeners having a safe and content summer. It's blazing hot in Southern California, so I hope you're staying hydrated and cool out there. I wanted to provide some updates since it's been a little while since I've been on my podcast. I will be continuing to interview guest experts who are trauma-informed practitioners, assisting various populations in the healing journey. More specifically, my clinical practice expertise lies in helping survivors of trauma. I work with men and women who are survivors of relational trauma, whether that took place in a romantic relationship, a family of origin, and/or a work environment or friendship. I also work in the subspecialty of reproductive mental health, where I see moms and their partners dealing with such issues as birth trauma, infertility, perinatal loss, like miscarriage or stillbirth, and perinatal, which means around the time of childbirth, depression and anxiety. Occasionally, these two practice specialties intersect and overlap. And the work is very powerful when trauma-informed modalities are utilized from a strengths-focused, client-centered perspective. One of the modalities I really like for in-person psychotherapy is EMDR, which you may have heard of, and it stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. I got my basic training under my belt last year with the EMDR Institute, and I'm currently getting certified. EMDR is one of the most powerful and expeditious modalities for healing trauma. It draws on brain science and the clinical skill and intuition, which is really an art form, of the practitioner. It was originally designed by founder Francine Shapiro. EMDR is a trauma-informed intervention that helps to reprocess traumatic material that is held in a non-adaptive part of the brain. Essentially, the charge of the trauma memory, like a fire alarm or the amygdala in the brain, the charge is taken down and the memory is stored more adaptively in the proper file cabinet, so to speak, of the brain through this modality. It's pretty cool. For single incident traumas, EMDR provides fairly rapid relief. And for those experiencing more complex PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, that would be long-term exposure to many traumas, EMDR is also very helpful, but it also takes longer if you've got more than one traumatic memory to reprocess. And the vast majority of people really have more than one traumatic memory. In all honesty, we as human beings have traumas every day, whether it's somebody cutting us off on the freeway or something as huge as a sudden loss of a loved one. So trauma is not something to be ashamed of, but it's something that we all deserve to heal from. And unfortunately, some people have been exposed to more trauma than others, particularly in the area of relationships, and that's where I specialized. So I just put it out there that if you're considering EMDR for trauma recovery, be patient with the journey and know that it's an evidence-based modality that's backed up by neuroscience. And when it's woven in a safe, supportive, therapeutic connection with a skilled clinician,
EMDR has been shown to be very effective. So if you like more information about that, check out the MDRIA website, which is the governing body of EMDR at emdria.com. You can also see a list of practitioners that have had basic training and those who are certified as well. Moving on, what I want to touch on my work with survivors of narcissistic abuse specifically, that's underneath the umbrella term of psychological abuse. Given the political climate we're in, it's not surprising to me at all that finally the word narcissist has become common nomenclature. We're living in dark times where the leader of this country is replicating behaviors that historically were the actions of vicious dictators. Malignant narcissism has always been a part of humankind. It is only just now coming to the forefront as a thing. And it's now that we have internet access to learn more. The education is out there now more than ever. And of course, some information is evidence-based and grounded in theory. Other information is perhaps more anecdotal. But many of us in the field of trauma recovery are working in earnest to continue to publish literature about the subject, as well as design modules for clients and clinicians alike to assist with the healing journey. Education is power, empowerment, and healing. For clients who are out of state or international, I also have a service, a coaching and consultation service, where I provide telephonic and web-based consultation. I provide psychotherapy for people who are in state of California, but for those out of state or international, I can provide coaching, which is not psychotherapy, but it does include some very helpful components of psychoeducation about healing in the aftermath of toxic relationships, as well as a compass and roadmap with resources, coping skills, and self-care strategies for moving through grief, reclaiming self-worth, boundary setting, and other tips that are very helpful. EMDR is not possible on the webcam or telephonically. I have heard of some helping professionals who are not licensed therapists claiming to practice EMDR with clients online, and that is very problematic because it's illegal and unethical. It's very troubling to me to hear this, and please know that in order to be an EMDR therapist, you need to be a licensed therapist who's had additional advanced training and supervised consultation for a minimum of 50 hours. And that's just with the basic training. So this is postgraduate work. To become certified in EMDR requires several additional hours, more supervised consultation, and additional training. If you're a client who's looking to have relief from trauma, please do your homework and verify that the clinician you're working with in EMDR is in fact an EMDR therapist and not someone who randomly decided to hang their shingle as a coach and subsequently claims to practice clinical intervention. There's a lot of quackery going on the internet, so be careful. You know, this would be akin to a person saying that they read a book about removing an appendix and then going ahead and performing the surgery. I have actually seen this online and it's really disturbing. So that being said, I do know of a select handful of excellent life coaches who are outstanding and compassionate, and they do practice within their scope. And you can certainly contact me for their information. I don't know a client who doesn't want rapid relief from the pain of relational trauma, and I wish that a magic wand existed to expedite the process. I do know that for any client I worked with who wanted to get better, they were successful in resolving their traumas based upon their hard work and a safe holding environment. That's a term coined by D.W. Winnicott, who was a researcher several years ago who talked about the importance of compassion and non-judgment in the therapeutic environment. It's very probable to be hopeful to heal from psychological or narcissistic abuse. It does take time, and I can't emphasize enough the importance of having patience with the process. Sometimes it can feel like 10 steps forward and 20 back. It's a choppy, stepwise healing journey, and it's not a smooth trajectory. But eventually, things even out and the pathway is less laden with pebbles. One of the most important things I've found for my clients is to have the experience of being heard and witnessed in that safe holding environment that I just mentioned. So often my clients are reeling in the aftermath of toxic relationships whereby they're swimming in cognitive dissonance. And you may know about cognitive dissonance based upon your own research on the internet or maybe through a podcast I've done or one of my colleagues has done. But it's an important term to understand, and it's basically holding two disparate beliefs about something at the same time, and it's resulting in confusion. So that's what happens in the aftermath of psychological abuse, is that the survivor has been made to feel like they're the crazy ones because their abuser continuously gaslights them into doubting their reality of the situation. And so what's important for survivors is to have the opportunity to narrate their story, their own story, as the truth. And this then allows the cognitive dissonance to dissipate. Because survivors of narcissistic abuse specifically have been subjected to gaslighting, silent treatment, blame shifting, projection, and other forms of psychological abuse that I talk about on my podcast and in my articles. I would highly recommend, if you haven't already done so, seeing the movie Gaslight, which I'm sure you can rent on Netflix or Amazon. And it stars Ingrid Bergman. It was put out there in 1944, I believe. And it beautifully illustrates what gaslighting is, which is basically a psychological abuse tactic done by a pathological person who may be a narcissist or another cluster B personality disorder, designed to create confusion and doubting of the survivor's reality of the situation. It's intentional, it's premeditated, and it's sadistic. So gaslighting is something that psychological abusers do to their victims. I call them survivors, I like that term better. But that is one of the components of healing in the aftermath when we try to bring down that cognitive dissonance, is really working through the gaslighting. Narrating the story verbally, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, is so important. And some survivors actually prefer to narrate it in a visual or written form, perhaps in a visual journal through trauma-informed expressive arts. And I found that to be so liberating and powerful. So for some of my clients, we do some expressive arts from a trauma-informed perspective. I also use mindfulness-based cognitive restructuring and EMDR as well, depending upon the client's needs. So I have a pretty eclectic approach. A timeline of the abusive relationship is very important, delineating the cycles of idealize, devalue, discard, reengage, because this helps to create a visual understanding of what went down. And then it further lowers the cognitive dissonance and synthesizes the survivor's experience. So I'm currently designing a workbook to accompany my ebook, which I published back in 2015, Soul Vampires: Reclaiming Your Lifeblood After Narcissistic Abuse. And that workbook is going to provide a template for clients' healing and the understanding of this narration process. So I'll also be sharing some more information about that and designing some learning modules for clients that they can download in the months to come off of my website. I'm also going to be collaborating with other helping professionals and colleagues in the field to bring about some of the psychoeducation for clients and also clinicians. So clinicians need the training too. That's so important for survivors to see a trauma-informed, strengths-based therapist. I've worked with so many survivors who've been with therapists who claim to have experience understanding narcissistic abuse recovery, and they really don't. So I think it's very important for survivors to ask the therapist that they're hiring for their mental health needs what kind of training that therapist has had and what books they recommend for healing in the aftermath of relational trauma. Because it's vital that the survivor is not re-traumatized in the therapeutic relationship. And oftentimes clients have been shamed and blamed for staying in a relationship where there's been a trauma bond. If the therapist doesn't know what a trauma bond is and all the components of that, they're not operating from a point of working within their scope of competence. So that's a key piece of really determining who you're working with as a helping professional. So buyer beware. And the same goes for life coaches. There's a lot of life coaches who are wonderful and some that are not, and some that are practicing out of their scope as well. So you just have to be really careful with whom you hire and make sure they're trauma-informed and strengths-focused, ethical people. I also want to point your attention to the Mental Health News Radio Network, the MHNR network that my podcast lives on online. This was founded by my wonderful colleague, Kristen Walker. We're a growing group of podcasters who are dedicated to destigmatizing mental health concerns, exposing bullying, talking about trauma-informed information, and providing psychoeducation by interviewing top-notch experts in the field. We've got some really, really awesome podcasters that are prolific writers and researchers already joining the network, and it's really exciting. So I'm just putting a pitch out there for you to go to mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com to check out what all of us are doing on the network. Kristen Walker is leading the charge and doing an amazing job of bringing us all together. There's something for everyone as relates to mental health and wellness, and we're out there as podcasters to destigmatize mental health concerns. Mental health is just as important as your physical health. It's woven into your health, and it's essential for wellness. Well, that's it for now. I appreciate your listening in, and please stay tuned for some upcoming guests who will be joining me this fall, continuing the dialogue of trauma-informed work. I've got some really great guests coming up, and I'm just very excited about it. So now more than ever, our world needs healers on so many levels. So listen in, tune in, and thanks for joining and listening into the Savvy Shrink. Until next time, this is Andrea Schneider.
Thank you again for listening to The Savvy Shrink. For more information about this podcast, go to thesavvyshrink.com or visit my website at andreaschneiderlcsw.com. This is your host, Andrea Schneider. Until next time.